If you have ever been diagnosed with high blood pressure, your doctor has probably suggested that you lower your salt intake to help stabilize your health. So, generally speaking, having too much salt is a bad thing. This isn't the case in terms of evangelism, however, because in Matthew, the 5th chapter, verses 13 through 16, we're told that Christians should saturate the world with the salt of God's word and share the light through our Christian living. Let's listen as Pastor Elder Jerry Seawright continues with part 3 of his series on evangelism with a sermon entitled Evangelism Served Lightfully Salted. Welcome to Precepts, a podcast sermon ministry of New Life Community Church, located in Pontiac, Michigan. Our church's vision is proclaiming Christ and equipping saints in the bond of fellowship. During each podcast series, Pastor Elder Jerry Seawright addresses biblical and doctrinal topics impacting Christians' daily living. Feel free to visit the media section of our website at www.nlccpontiac.org to download as well as take sermon notes during the podcast.
From Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16. By way of introduction, do you all know that billions of dollars are spent each year on self-help books? Matter of fact, the author, Lindsay Myers, wrote this: self-improvement represents a $10 billion a year industry in the U.S. alone. She goes on to say, in addition to high revenues, self-help also has a high recidivism rate, with the most likely purchasers of a self-help book being the same person who purchased the one previously. This begs the question of how much good these self-help books, seminars, and things of that nature are doing for consumers. If they are so effective at solving our problems, why do they usually result in a continuing stream of self-help purchases? Right? Self-help books, she says, are frequently followed by a training manual and formulas and subsequent manuals again for happiness, for weight loss, for success, for money, even for spirituality. And the most interesting thing is that they are done by the same author over and over. Now, for the Christian who may be looking to purchase a good book on how to be influential, maybe I can save you a few dollars. Why buy a book on being different makers or difference makers when we have Matthew 5, 13 through 16? Because this tells us that God has already made us people of influence. Amen? So, what does it mean to be salt and light? And is it relevant to today? What does it mean to be salt and light? Is it relevant? First, I want to submit that it is relevant. Because listen to this popular saying of today: watch your thoughts, they become words. Watch your words, they become deeds. Watch your deeds, they become habits. Watch your habits. They become character. Watch your character. It becomes your destiny. That's the popular saying on today. But this also refers to salt and light as well. See, in a few days, your president will give his inaugural address. Your president by popular vote, by the way. Yeah, that was a joke. He will give his inaugural address, right? But in Matthew, Jesus gave an inaugural address, right? And it was his Sermon on the Mount. He first started off with your attitude. And he gave the Beatitudes. And he said, this should be your attitude. And of course, attitude, which is that spirit behind what you do, right? It points to your thoughts. It leads to thoughts. And that's exactly what salt will cover. Thoughts. And of course, thought continues on because when you think about something, you're going to eventually act it out, right? So it's also covering your actions because he's talking about light. Light refers to your actions. So he's covering your attitude, your thoughts, and your actions. And they all should line up and point to him, giving God glory. You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. Salt. Salt has two effects. See, I told you you're influential people, right? You are people of influence. You're salt. And salt has two characteristics, if you will. First, it provides flavor, right? I mean, before people even taste the food, they're going crazy with salt shakers, right? It just adds flavor, right? But salt also is a preservative, right? Or a preventive type of antiseptic, if you will. And salt here is a key word. And if you define salt, it is defined as wisdom to see what is virtuous. Wisdom to see what is virtuous. It also means suitable, profitable. Suitable, profitable. This in itself is a testimony. How? Because for the last few weeks, we've been beating you up with the word of God. Remember, I came up here and told you, you're no good, you're no good, you're no good, right? Baby, you're no good, right? So we've been kind of beating you up. So this is the but God side of things. Amen? This is the but God side of things. See, like Titus, the third chapter says this, once we too were foolish and disobedient, we were misled and became slaves to many lusts and pleasures. Our lives were full of evil and envy, and we hated each other. But when God, our Savior, revealed his kindness and love, he saved us, not because of the righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He washed away our sins, giving us a new birth and new life through the Holy Spirit. He generously poured out the Spirit upon us through Jesus Christ, our Savior, Because of his grace, he declared us righteous and gave us confidence that we will inherit eternal life. Past sermons were designed not to beat you up. Rather, they were trying not to put a plus on your F. We are not trying to put a plus on your F. Amen? What we are trying to do is lift up God's miraculous work, which produced a wonderful change in your life. Just like the Hawkins said, a change has come over me. Amen? And we have to give credit to who it belongs, and that is to God. We are no longer referred to as weak. Remember I told y'all, yeah, we're weak. No longer are we weak and ungodly and sinners, mean heinous, consistently. Y'all know what heinous mean? Heinous, right? Right. And no longer are we enemies. Amen? We are now the salt of the earth. And as salt, we are useful and suitable and profitable. Because we have come out of the darkness and into his marvelous light. We think differently now. Amen. Because of him, we think differently now. We are God's people of influence. But who do we influence? Influence who? Well, that's when you have to go back a little bit in chapter 5 of Matthew, and then you read verses 11 and 12. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. This tells us that you're not only going to be influential towards those who desire it and want it, but you're also going to be influential to those who want it the least. They don't want it, and they mean you harm. You're going to be influential to them as well. You are the salt of the earth. Earth means earth. Ain't that deep? And on this earth, you have some places where you can plant a seed and it will grow. But then there are some places on this earth where you plant a seed and it doesn't grow. Like earth, like people. Like earth, like people. Sometimes you can plant a seed in somebody's life. And what it does, it produces fruit. Sometimes you go to some folks and you plant a seed and that seed just keeps rolling and it never germinates, right? Like earth, like people. But see, no matter what people we run into, we are supposed to be profitable and suitable and useful, amen, with everyone that we meet. You know, in the old days, they had salt covenants. And in fact, in the Arabic community, it's still something that they practice, salt covenants. If you look in the Old Testament, you'll see salt covenants. And basically what it means is that salt was a very important thing back in the days. Matter of fact, they used to pay folks with salt. Remember the saying, you're not worth your salt? Yeah, they used to pay folks with salt back in the day. Well, see, when you sat down with somebody for a meal, that wasn't a light thing, right? That wasn't a light thing. Sitting down with someone to eat, hey, that was a sign of connection and friendship, right? And after the meal, the folks would stand up and say, there is salt between us. There is salt between us, right? And then out in the community, they would see each other and they would tell another, hey, he ate my salt. There is salt between us and he ate my salt, right? God is now saying to the church and to each and every one of you who are part of his church is that there is salt between us. See, you heard the master calling to come and dine, right? And you've come, and now God is saying there is salt between us. Amen? There is salt between us. See, God said, I put some salt in your life. I flavored you up. I flavored you up. Amen? Now, there are people out there chasing after useless, unsuitable, and unprofitable things. Now that you are salt, I need you to go out there and add some flavor to someone else's life. Amen? Be the salt that I intend for you to be. Tell them, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures through all generations. Tell them, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Bless the man who trusts in him. Tell them about God's precepts and his word. More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold. Sweeter also are they than honey in the honeycomb. Tell them. Salt also has this property to prevent and preserve things. Amen. And Hendricks says this, that we are always combating moral and spiritual decay. We're always in a fight. We're always in a fight. And you can see it. We're always in a fight. If you are employed and you got coworkers, and all of a sudden, if you've ever been in a situation like I've been, where all of a sudden they up there and they're telling the latest, hottest joke. Ooh, it's good to them, right? It is good. It got some choice words in it and everything else, right? And here come, like, not knowing it, see, right? Dun, 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 you know, right? I'm coming up. And then all of a sudden, when I come up, they get quiet. They get quiet, right? They get quiet. Oh, here comes some salt. Right? Here comes some salt, right? We're always in a situation where, you know, that conversation was going down, but we prevent those type of things. We prevent those type of things from happening. We prevent even greater things from happening. God has us down here preserving things until that great day when he takes us away. Takes us away. Amen. And salt has that secret work of preserving. You can just put that salt and slide it on something, and it goes to work. It's not out there like, hey, me, salt, me salt, right? It's got a secret thing going on, so to speak, of preserving. In other words, it don't try to overdo it, overkill, overdo it. And we need to be like that as well. We need to be a property that preserves and not necessarily destroy things. You know, I remember when I was going over this message, I remember one time talking about overdoing things. I remember when I was younger, you know, I was quite the dancer. And I was out there, and I was doing my thing. I mean, I was on that floor, you know, waiting on the band to get started. I was like, hey! I mean, I was out there. I thought of every move. I had Michael Jackson down. I had my pop and lock down. I was going out there to get it on. And all of a sudden, I went out there, and I was on the dance floor. I asked this young lady, come on, hey! Come on, we're going to jam, right? And I'm out there jamming. Every move that I can think of, I'm throwing it at her. I'm throwing it at her. And then all of a sudden I turn around and I'm throwing them. And I turn back around and she's gone. I overdid it. I was jamming. And I looked at her and I was like, where you go? And you know what she said? I ain't messing with you. You do too much. You do too much. And that's like some Christians where they want to come in and they want to be, oh, so holy. Right? Oh, so holy. You do too much, right? Just like I told you, there's a guy that I went to school with, and all of a sudden, the guy said something, and he just got up, and we were in class, and he was like, you're going to hell, and the Lord rebukes you. And I was like, man, you do too much, right? How are you going to reach them when you do too much? But yet at the same time, we don't want to lose our saltiness. That's doing too little, right? And how you lose your saltiness and how this ideal came up. Back in the ancient days, salt could lose its saltiness in this sense that it wasn't purely refined or gathered. The process wasn't where you purely gathered just salt. Sometimes you gathered some other minerals and things of that nature with it. You understand what I'm saying? And then by time you had the salt actually wash away, you was left with those minerals. See, what happens is, if you listen to the lesson, what happens is other stuff get all into the salt, and then the salt loses its saltiness. And some of us are trying to be so accommodating with the world that all of a sudden all these minerals get into us and all this other stuff get into us where you can't tell who's saved or who's not saved. You done lost your saltiness. So we don't want to do it like Elder C right on the dance floor. We don't want to underdo it either. Amen. Amen. Okay, all right, making sure you're with me. Don't lose your saltiness. Then he goes on and he talks about light. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. If salt reflects talks about your thinking, right? We talked about the Beatitudes, which should be your attitude. And then we talk about the salt, which means your thinking. Now, all of a sudden, that leads to actions. And that's your light. That's your light. And light has two different properties as well. Light is to be seen. Light is to be seen. And light is to be shared. Did you hear that? Light is to be seen. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hid. When you look at that word hill, it doesn't mean like some little like thing like that. Matter of fact, some people some scholars say it may mean mountain. Right? It means that you are sitting up. This is a city sitting up there on a hill. Do you think they put that city up there on a hill so nobody would look? It was set up there to be seen. To be seen. And it cannot be hid. Like I said, even if you want to hide this thing in you, it won't be hid because try your best to hide it. I dare you. When you go around somebody and you go around people and you try to be an undercover agent, more than likely what they're going to say is, man, you notice he don't never cuss, man? Something different about this brother, man. Hold on, let me test him. Hey, man, you want a drink? right? And then you say, nah, I'm good. I'm good. Why you don't want no drink, man? Right? Hey, man, you want to hit this, man? You want to hit this? Nah, I'm good. Why you want to hit it, man? They all of a sudden they say, like, huh, man, it's something different about this. Try to be, because if you're really his, it's hard to be hid. It's hard to be hid. Amen. And you are a city on a hill that cannot be hid. This is a dark world. A dark world, right? And Satan has blinded the minds of many down here because he's the God of this age, right? So this in turn, it has us sticking out, not like a sore thumb, but like light in darkness, right? Light in darkness, sitting on a hill. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket. Now, you got to go through what he's saying here by word. He's saying that no one gets a lamp which you have to light. That means fire is involved, right? Fire is involved. And then you put something over it that can catch on fire. They don't do that, right? It is to be seen, right? And the rays of that light are to be shared. And it shares and it lights up the whole house. See, Jesus was talking to poor people at this time. They didn't have all the rooms in their crib that you have. They had one room. And this lamp, or this light, lit up one room, the whole room. Just like there's one world, we are these lamps that light up this whole world. Our rays go and they penetrate. You ever watch or you know the effects of the sun rays, right? The sun's rays, right? Right? Matter of fact, people, our brothers and our sisters, a little lighter than us, they will go and they will lotion up and they will sit down there and lay down there and flip over, right? And they will bask in the rays. And you see the effects of the sun. Well, I didn't know until a couple of years ago when I was out there mowing the lawn and I came inside and I took off my hat. I had a shade up here, and I had a shade down there. Pulled up my short sleeve shirt, and I had a shade here and a shade. There are effects to that sun. That sun influenced my skin, right? And those rays, you should influence somebody. There should be some changed lives going on when people cross your path. They shouldn't be the same. When they meet you, it should be something different. Let your light so shine that all men can see it. Amen? Why do you want it to shine, huh? Because, see, what those rays are is your actions. And actions speak louder than words. Just like I told you all before, it's this saying, like, your actions are talking so much louder than you that I can't hear what you're saying. Right? Your actions are a testimony. Your actions are a witness, and they are rays showing folks. So if you're out there mixing folks up and sending them mixed signals, you're losing your saltiness Because what you're supposed to be doing and what your works and what your good deeds supposed to do is point to God so that he can get the glory and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Your attitude, your thought life, your actions supposed to point to him and give him glory. No longer are we folks out there doing our own thing. It ain't about you. It's about what he can do through you. Through you. Are you salt? Are you light in this dark world? Are you planting seeds? Are you making a difference? You won't find it in self-help books. Huh? Not self-help books, but you can find it if you study God's word. You'll know the purpose that he has for your life. And this purpose, it's bigger than you. It's bigger than you. You need to go out and tell somebody. Tell them not only with your mouth, but tell them with your life, your character. Amen? And in order for you to tell them with your character, you got to watch your thought life. Right? You got to watch your thought life. If you're feeding yourself, you're constantly feeding yourself with that, as Bishop Watkins used to say, that one-eyed monster, and you're turning on like paid channels all the time, what do you think you're going to get? You're going to get paid channel thoughts, right? If you're feeding on junk, what do you think you're going to get out of that? You're going to get junk. So it's a simple saying, not to beat you down. Don't want to put a plus on your F either, though, right? But I do want you to be motivated to live out your purpose, to live out your purpose. And how can you live out your purpose if you're not living for him? How can you? How can you go day after day and not living out the purpose that God has for you? When time after time, it's been offered to you to come to him, and you continue to ignore as if tomorrow is guaranteed. As if tomorrow is guaranteed, and you still don't want to get it together. No, I'm sorry. You want to get it together. You don't want him. When will that rat race stop for you? Huh? Just like that, just like one guy said, in a rat race, the only thing that wins is a rat. When will that rat race stop for you? Come unto me, all ye that, and I will stop that. Stop that.
We hope you were blessed by today's sermon and encourage you to continually read and apply God's holy word in your life. To learn more about New Life Community Church's vision, mission, resources, and upcoming events, please visit our website at www.nlccpontiac.org. Or you can also follow us on Twitter at NLCC Pontiac. May God richly bless and forever keep you.